loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot. Julius. He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down, and the game is tied.
Here's Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots. Yes!
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back to Pick and Pod. We are recording at 11:06 p.m., and the New York Knicks have just gone down 2-0 to the Indiana Pacers. Ladies and gentlemen, that's correct. The Knicks have gone down 2-0 to the Indiana Pacers. Game one, losing 138-135. And then tonight, the Knicks just defeat the Indiana Pacers one more time, 114-109. And man, I'm not going to lie, it really felt like Indiana was in control all night. I won't lie that I think that even George Fuvitakis, the big, like the Knicks fan on the call right now, would probably agree with me that the Indiana Pacers felt like they were in control of this game the entire night. It really just nothing felt different. Pascal Siakam took over this game, which is showing why this roster is so deep. The Indiana roster was being so disrespected all year for whatever reason. Tyrese Haliburton, the most overrated.
Still the most overrated.
Great. No. He just torched the Knicks twice.
I don't know about that. He is a fraud.
You know who else is a fraud? Jalen Brunson, who jacked up a shot late in the game that did not matter. I'm just going to read out a stat for you right now. Pascal Siakam in 33 minutes had 39 points. He went on a self 12-point run in the first quarter, I believe the stat is.
Does he want a cookie? Congratulations.
That's incredible.
This Indiana team is playing the best basketball they have played in their entire lives.
They're 6-0 on the road. They're 10-2 in the playoffs.
They are frauds. They are not real.
This happened last year. They beat you guys last year.
They are not real. They're not legit.
George.
This team is fake.
The numbers just don't agree with you that this is fake. There's no possibility. There's no way that you could tell me it's fake. Look at the stats. Look at what's going on, because there's no fake stats here. Everything is showing that they're real.
They
might not win a championship because OKC is too good. And yes, I said OKC is too good because the Wolves aren't coming back either. But the Pacers are really good, man. You can't just go in and win. You can't, like Nathan said, you don't win 10-2 just because. There's no way that happens.
What happened the last time the Pacers were in the Eastern Conference Finals and this happened? They lost the series. When Reggie choked Spike Lee, they lost the series. This is history rewriting itself.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, so this is what I think about this series so far. This Pacers team, you know, they're legit. When I watch them, their name is the Pacers, but their pace of play is like insane. And in basketball, when you control the pace, like Ergo talks about it, McPie, you know, because Fordham, whatever, but if you control the pace of play, you're going to win the basketball game. And that's what the Pacers have done so far. It's like watching like ninth graders run around. They just literally like every time there'd be a fast break for the Knicks. And like that one time when like Robinson like had like a easy lay, they just passed it up and Siakam like scored 3 seconds later. And like I was eating dinner. I'm 3 hours behind. So I was eating dinner and I was like, I would see like Haliburton score and then I'd like literally take one bite and then Haliburton scored again. And then, like, there'd be another Knicks turnover. The Knicks are not taking care of the ball.
They're not. They
had more turnovers in the first half than the Pacers had in game one. So they tried to play at their pace, and they just were tossing up the ball. They weren't playing well. Although, tip my hat off to Kat. I think Kat has played spectacular. I think his defense is kind of lacking tonight, and I think the intensity because Tibbs is just playing the starting lineup the whole game, not drawing up anything for anyone.
He never changed the menu.
Because Robinson was playing so well in the first half, and they didn't stick with him in the third. Pacers go on like a sneaky 7-0 run, I can't even hear the MSG crowd at all until probably, Kurt, what, 4 minutes left to go in the game?
Yep. I think the MSG crowd only came back into the game because they had to.
Yeah.
I don't think that too, because one thing's for certain, that the average Knicks fan is not affording a ticket to that game. So everyone there has no idea, like, the ounce of it. Not to say not everyone,
there,
but a lot of the people
who are
there
are the trendy Knicks fans. They're the Knicks fans who are only in it for the trends, and they're not the true hardcore, hard-bred, out-of-the-womb Knicks fans.
I don't know if it's all of them, but I think a majority of those people are there.
Majority.
And yeah, I'm just going to say that doesn't make up for good basketball crowds, that the New York Knicks have the best crowd in basketball. You know who has the real best crowd in basketball?
Thunder's
the Indiana Pacers,
the Brooklyn
and
Nets,
the OKC Thunder. No one's talking about the Brooklyn Nets right now, George.
They have a fantastic crowd.
And you know who else does? The Indiana Pacers. Because everyone that's not at the Indy 500 right now is going to that Eastern Conference Finals game.
For sure.
And I don't see – and, George, you know what else I don't see outside of Madison Square Garden right now? Where's Bing Bong? Where are they? Where is everyone?
They didn't have watch parties outside.
Wait, George. They don't come out during losses. They don't try to hype up their team. What? They just stand outside and do nothing. What? The people are only in it for the wins. What's what it looks like? That's what it looks like, George.
Every single Knicks fan feels like me right now. I like completely dejected. Not talking to anyone.
So did Tom Thibodeau.
I'm fighting to be on this call right now. My stress levels are insane currently. I don't like it, there's just a different level of dejection, pain, and suffering that one feels right now. And I'm gonna ride with Tibbs till the day I die. I think Tibbs is a fantastic coach. Kurt, I see your ears perking up right now. Nathan, I see it. I can't. Tibbs is a great coach. I have my faith in him.
He called a timeout when he could have drawn up a play that got Jalen Brunson a ball that a shot that actually could have been a decent shot. Like, I'm surprised that one.
I'm surprised Kyle didn't foul.
Why wouldn't you take the two shots? Why wouldn't you try to get the easy points? I know he can't make free throws. That's another story. But why wouldn't you try to make those two shots instead of jacking up a three that had, what was it, probably next to 0% chance of going in? Well, who does he think he is? Steph Curry?
Yeah, George, what do you think about that when they had, what was it, like 4 seconds left? Or more. I think they had more than 4 seconds left, but Brunson drives up the court and just jacks up a three. It was really deep, like, what do you think about that?
My only beef with it is I see his thought process. I genuinely see his thought process. Like,
I don't think he had a thought process.
I think that he was expecting to get fouled. And if he took another step in, they were going to jump him. They were going to mug him.
I know he was expecting to get fouled, but why not take the
two
shots?
One step in, they were mugging him. Mugging.
But why not take the two shots?
Because you don't want time off the clock.
That sounds a little ridiculous. So he took a 3-point shot that instead just lost them the game.
It was high risk, and the reward
high risk,
that you needed.
Really, 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 really reward that did not matter because he wasn't making that shot. There was two guys on him, George. I don't know what you want me to tell you.
I feel like we were looking at different shots. I saw he had space.
Nathan, did you think he had any space on that shot?
No.
I was getting closed out.
I think if you're a Curry, if you're like a Dame, like maybe you're making that. But I don't. The one thing with the Knicks that I've seen is like the Pacers are literally just running them out of the building. They looked so tired. Like, 100%. They have so much rest after that Celtics series. And in that fourth quarter in game one, they just looked like gassed. This time they didn't look as gassed, but like, I just didn't see the playmaking. Hart was not playing well. Bridges only played well in what, like towards the end of the third quarter.
It didn't even feel like he played that well just
in
general.
You know,
he
hit
just
a couple
looked
like,
invisible in the game.
He hit a couple like, you know, fadeaway like jumpers, like off the post move, but like anything like that wasn't like crazy. And
He had the
Cat
most
was like,
in.
Cat was really good game one, but he was like what, minus 20 this game?
The Knicks starting lineup this game had a minus 15. They were
Yeah, it was
minus
just
15.
not
And
good.
also, I'm going to be very honest, Mikal Bridges' 20 points felt like the most invisible 20 points I've probably ever seen in the NBA. Where
Yeah.
did those points come from? I felt like he didn't even touch the ball this
He
game.
spawns them in. That's what he does. It's like he just appears with the points.
It doesn't, like, I don't know where on the stat sheet that those points would come in. And also, the other issue I have with the Knicks, and this is probably an issue that it's only me as just like a fan that's like watching from the outside. Nathan probably sees it too. They don't bounce back well, almost ever, especially right now. Like, you saw Tibbs in the press conference, like, some coaches would be out and like punching and being like, we got them where we want them. Like, we're going to come back and they're home. Like, we're going to kill them. Tim sat there and he just looked sad. And I
Everyone's sad.
understand being sad, but he gave one word answers. He was telling reporters basically, whatever you think is correct is great. Like, that's not like winning basketball mindset. Like, why don't you give lay out what you thought was the right moves? Because I don't feel like he thought any of this was the correct move.
The guys in the booth were talking about it too. Like, this happened against the Cavs, right? And then game three, they came back and the Cavs, like, blew them out. So, in Indiana. So it's not impossible for the Knicks to go to Indiana, beat them, and the Knicks aren't horrible on the road. But Kurt mentioned that the Pacers have a really good home court advantage. I think the Knicks were right there with the Pacers this game. You go back to game one, and it's like you could make an argument that like some of it was luck, that fadeaway shot from Haliburton, that probably doesn't really go in 99% of the time.
Andrew Nimhard becoming the next generation of
Aaron
just
Nesmith,
everything.
Nesmith
Ian
hitting
Steph
like a
Curry,
six
Aaron
three.
Nesmith. Sorry, I don't know why I just combined two people's
Yeah.
names.
But like, even then, like the Knicks just, it's they're not deep enough. They don't use their players. Even like Draymond was talking about it too after the game on TNT. Like the Pacers don't draw up plays for Siakam, but he's just such a good playmaker, and the way they play basketball, he's just open, and he gets the basket, he gets offensive boards, and that's how they play basketball. But for the Knicks, it's like we're gonna roll with these five guys, maybe put in a six every 16 minutes, and hope for the best and not draw up anything.
The reason they don't do that, if you guys remember looking back a little bit, that campaign jacked up a random three that just went over the backboard. Like, those are the type of plays that it looks like desperation moves that it's only to get Jalen Brunson some rest so he can like hopefully do something. And also Mitchell Robinson at the end of this game was looking a little weird.
Yeah,
Like,
because remember that three he didn't close out on, and then they
what was
closed it. And
that last? Whatever he thought he was prime Michael Jordan going up for a tomahawk on three people.
oh yeah, I saw that.
What are we doing?
I don't
What
know
is
what.
this? Like, oh, I'm gonna lose it. I'm gonna blow a gasket. This game, it like takes hold. It's oh my God.
So, Kurt.
This whatever is going on needs to be fixed. The problem is, from the first minute of the game, these Pacers are picking up full court, running us out of the building. Their pace is just insane. This team is not real. They were built around beating the Knicks. This is diabolical basketball.
It
I'm
just
watching
sounds like
my
you're
team
mad because a team is
crumble
better than
like
you.
stone in front of my eyes. It's like a
You're
mud
such a good
slide.
rage baiter. You're such a good rage baiter, bro.
This is complete, but it's such a mudslide of debauchery.
Big words, George. Big
That's
words. You
what I
took
was
the
saying.
SAT
That's a pretty good word. I
recently.
like that one.
Big
This
words.
is, I'm just losing it. It's taking years off my life. I feel my hair turning gray in the moment.
This
Oh,
is definitely a heartbreak for a fan base that hasn't had anything in what, 25
man.
years.
I posted on
So
my story after the game. Just one more thing, Nathan, just to get George
saw
going a
that.
little bit
I
more.
saw that.
Yeah.
You posted Melo muffing a dunk.
No, I posted Roy Hibbert blocking Melo's dunk. Just some famous Pacers ball. I just had to post that for you, George. All right, go ahead, Nathan.
No, I was just going to ask you guys. So if you're the Knicks, right, you're down by two games. You lost game one as an absolute heartbreaker in OT. It shouldn't have gone to OT, right? You're up 14 with, like, what, 2.5 minutes to go. Game two, crowd wasn't there. Siakam, 39 points in, like, 33 minutes. Halliburton hitting all those shots. Brunson still had 36, but you lost. So now you got to fly to Indiana tomorrow, probably. How do you adapt? So now you don't have home court advantage. You got to deal with, you know, I think they went into game two thinking, we got to lock down Halliburton and Naismith. And they just forgot about Siakam. It looked like they literally forgot about Siakam. So you got to go into game three. So how what do they do? How do they adapt? What do you guys think?
Well, if we're going to talk about adapting to something, I think the one thing that they could do is switch everything. At this point, switch everything. The only time that it worked when they were playing defense on Siakam was when Josh Hart was on Pascal Siakam, it looked like. I'm not going to lie. Like, it never looked good when OG was there just because he got lulled to sleep. And it's weird to say that about Pascal Siakam just getting lulled to sleep, lulling anyone to sleep. Also, open lanes, like TJ McConnell just went anywhere he wanted, it looked like.
That
he went on personal runs.
That man is the literal human version of a subway rat.
Hey, man, the Knicks need some subway rats. If the Knicks had anyone that can drop 10 points off.
From like 10 years ago running around with the basketball.
If the Knicks had anyone that could do that, I mean, they would probably be in a different situation. If the Pacers cleaned up offensive rebounds and got more rebounds, they probably blow out the Knicks by 30. They probably blow out the Knicks by 30. I don't even think George can disagree with that. The Knicks just don't look good.
We look gassed.
That's why I said.
The Knicks just look. They look tired. Like they. And also, like watching like the first half, like the Pacers in my. Well, you know, they were pressing them before half court and all that stuff, but they kind of came out a little flat. But still, like they are just the way they run up the court. Even like players like McConnell, like. In double digits, like, you know, he changes the offense too. And it's just like, you just hate to see it because the Knicks have that starting five out there the whole game.
And this is the issue that the Tib minutes screw everybody. Everyone said this is working
Tibbs
out in their
needs
favor
to
for
play
the Knicks.
Landry
but...
Shamet. Give Landry Shamet minutes.
All right, buddy. This is like an old man yelling at clouds at the moment. Give Landry Shamet minutes.
I would have campaign play 30 minutes before I have Landry Shamet.
Landry Shamet play five.
Yeah.
No.
Landry Shamet is not the answer.
Don't mind
Landry Shamet's not the answer. Buddy, Landry Shamet's not even a little bit. Landry Shamet, if I was on the Knicks coaching staff tomorrow, I would tell Tibbs to make Landry Shamet the water boy. What are we talking about, Landry Shamet? Landry Shamet's a joke. I would rather give PJ Tucker minutes than Landry Shamet. Are you kidding me?
I'm being so genuine.
All right, buddy.
That's just not the answer for game three. It can't be.
You put the answer for everything. The answer for game three, and I want to hear the rest of your opinions about this. The answer for game three is switch everything. Start with fresh legs. Start actually trying to play one perimeter defense because I don't know where that went. Because you only knew how to play Boston because the Magic showed you how to do that. Two, try to figure out a way to block the paint that's not just Mitchell Robinson standing in the middle. Three, close out on Miles Turner.
That
what
was
are
a
we
big
doing?
Thing. That was a big thing. There was no closeout. It's because Mitch was like every time there would be a drive and a kick out, Mitch would come and help. And then that would leave Miles Turner open in the corner every single possession.
Do the Knicks think that every center is like Mitchell Robinson and can't shoot anything? Because they've done, like, what are they doing? Because Turner has gotten a great shot over the past few years. And why aren't you closing out on his shot? You're leaving him wide open. Wide open.
You're giving him 3 to 5 business days to prep for his shot.
He has a momentous amount of time. Well,
I want to say this too about the Knicks, because I'm just going to compare game one and game two, because you look at game one, it's like they didn't make their free throws. This game, they were pretty good at the line. They weren't bad at the charity stripe. You look at game one, they couldn't play at their pace. They're turning the ball over, and they didn't really rebound that well. But if you look at this game, they did out-rebound the Pacers. They were getting their second chance.
It didn't feel like it, though. It never felt like it.
And the reason why is because the amount of fast break points, the amount of, like, one-on-ones Halliburton got on a mixed match, like, the second chance points that the Knicks would get and the rebounds they would get, it just didn't matter because the Pacers were just shoving the ball down their throat every time they got it. And the Knicks weren't taking advantage of the players on the court and even on the bench. Like, when you have a player like Robinson that's basically kind of like carrying your team in the first half, you don't play him in the third quarter, really. I just don't really get that. I think Tibbs got a – I don't – you know, I can pray to God for him to change his mind, but I think –
his mind's never changing until the day he dies.
They worked on the rebounding. They worked on the second-chance points. You know, they didn't really shoot the three ball that well. But they just have to play smarter ball, and, like, when they try to play at the Pacers' play – like, the pace of the Pacers, they can't turn the ball over. It just can't happen. So I think game three in Indiana, you just got to take care of the ball and ride with Brunson, I guess.
They try to ride with Brunson. Brunson can only play hero ball for so long. Again, Brunson can be a superstar. He can be whatever he wants. Dude is not LeBron. I apologize, George. He'll never be LeBron. He's not LeBron. He's not Steph Curry. He's not Kevin Durant. He's his own guy, and he needs players around him that will help him and supplement him.
You're right.
Karl-Anthony Towns you're is not gonna... that person that supplements him. You need a real – I said this, and everyone always gets really offended when I say it. They need a real superstar. They need a superstar. A superstar that is a first ballot Hall of Famer superstar.
You've brought this up with me on shows before. I've completely fried you for it. I've attacked you, came at you hard for it. There was a one pick and pot episode. I remember it was me, you. I don't remember who the B or C was, and it was Owen Kelty, where like we all got up and we started like screaming at each other, talking about Jalen Brunson not having a superstar, Jalen Brunson needing a superstar.
And everyone sees what I mean now.
I'm starting. I on the record, I'm giving Kurt credit and agreeing with you that we need a true, true superstar. We need someone who can take the ball out of Jalen Brunson's hands.
And yeah, the one thing about the Pacers too is, like, they have Halliburton, they have Siakam. Those are, you know, A plus players in my mind, right? They have a lot of
Halliburton
B
gets an A, Siakam gets an A minus.
You're saying those are A tier players, right? Like those are your elite players. They make their B plus players A level. Like, Nembhard and Nesmith, like, and Nesmith, like, him hitting 6 threes at the end or 7 threes or whatever, and the Pacers shot almost 80% in the last 6 minutes of game one. Like,
diabolical.
And, like, they say, like, you know, remember, Kurt, remember our journalism class? Luck is the residue of design. Like,
it is.
This is the Pacers basketball. Like, Halliburton spaces the floor so well. He opens up the court so well, and they forgot about Siakam, and that's what happened. So the Knicks really need to work on their defense and lock up the perimeter, like Kurt said.
I think the Knicks just have to work on everything. I think it's going to take an off season, and I also think it's going to take a coach.
Do you think it's
change.
Over?
They look dejected. They don't look very happy.
Not only did they lose, but they look like literally sad. They look melancholy that they lost.
Jalen Brunson hasn't smiled, I think, once since game one. Like, I don't know what else to say. I think nothing's going to work out. Like, I know you're a swimmer, Nathan, and you know what it's like to be an athlete, especially in a sport where it's only you that affects your outcome. You know how easy it is for mind to get in the way of things. And another person that likes to get in the way with his mind is Mitchell Robinson. Him at the free throw line is scary. He just threw the ball at the rim. I don't even know what he was doing. He just went.
Yeah.
And then he hit one of them, but what was that? That's like,
but the crowd was wild. That's when the crowd really got into it too, which I thought was, I was laughing at my TV because I was like, they just cheered way too loud. And I get like, he's not going to
win,
but like, dude, your team is losing game two.
For one
like,
free throw.
The crowd.
And that's the issue I have with it, is I think that the Knicks are coming into it with a mindset that's just horrendous. I think they're beating themselves up over it. They're back to the same mindset they had in the beginning of the year, where we can't beat the good teams. We're not good enough to beat these teams, that team, this team. And I feel like that's probably the exact same thing that's going on right now. They feel we're not good enough at the moment. Something's wrong. And that's just how it looks.
They're trapping themselves in a box. They're trapping themselves in a box. And the crazy thing is, like, they have the talent to win these games. They could have won these games. I think they could have.
Easily. This is like, an easy win for both for that team. Just easy.
It could have gone either way. Like, it's just, it's just a matter of, like, the effort they're putting in. And, in the paint, I didn't see anything in the paint tonight from the Knicks that was, like, anything to clap my hands for.
Just some of the most stressful times for a Knicks fan possible.
It's because they don't have a real backup center, one. Two, Mitchell Robinson had to go 3 years ago. Like, he needed to be traded.
I've been saying that.
He needed to be traded so long ago. But the issue that I have with trading Mitchell Robinson is that's it. You have only hired help at the end of that. And I think that's the other Knicks issue. None of these people know what it's like to be drafted by New York. None of these people know what it's like to play their career in the beginning of their career, just in general for New York, what it's like to develop themselves in New York. All of these people are hired assassins. That's a phrase that I've always heard just on the radio, is just hired assassins. They are hired assassins. All of these guys have no idea what it's like to play in New York, no idea what it's like to play for the Knicks organization until later on in their career. And I think that that's something that's really important, is having a core of guys that know what it's like to play for an organization for a long time. Why are the Golden State Warriors so good? It's not only because the Golden State Warriors have the talent and everything. It's also because they know what it's like to play for the city that's drafted their entire core.
Yeah. You're right.
Championship DNA.
And I just want to get to one more series before we got to wrap up. Quick 2 minutes. Another team that got their entire core drafted all together, the OKC Thunder.
Yeah.
There's a reason why they are so good.
They are the pristine basketball team. They really are.
If this was 10 years ago in the NBA.
I barely see a blemish.
If this was 10 years ago in the NBA, OKC probably wins 10 championships in a row. I don't know what else to say.
They are a proper basketball team. I think that's
they're
like,
built for a dynasty. I feel like that's how I could describe it.
Their future is bright, and you know, like the odds of them winning this year are so high. Like,
no Eastern Conference team touches them. The ones that are left, none of them at all.
No.
And even the ones that are left, no one's touching them.
And we talked about pace of play. The Thunder. That's all they do.
Run the ball and hit their shots. That's the other thing. The Thunder have not hit their 3-point shots yet, and they're still blowing out the Wolves. They're still blowing out the Wolves.
Well, I don't really think the Wolves are that good, to be honest.
Doesn't matter. They're still where they are right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because I thought that they wouldn't. I predicted that the Nuggets Thunder series would go to 7. But it really felt like the Thunder were in command the whole series.
Oh yeah. Oh. Easily.
And it was like after game two, I was like, oh, you know, like I still think it might go to 7, but they're definitely going to win. And it wasn't even like.
No, I agree. Well, any last comments from any of you guys? If
Knicks in six. 6-6. That's all I gotta say. That's all I gotta say. That's all I gotta say. Pray for my soul. Please, please pray for my soul.
Pray for George. That's all I gotta say.
I'm not praying for George. Pacers in 4, Thunder in 4.
Wow.
We're gonna wrap this up right now.
I
gotta gather my thoughts. I have been Kurt Sipple, joining me alongside Nathan Rogers and George Fluikatakis. Pick and Pod is a production of WFUV Sports. Have a good night, everybody.
Let's go, Knicks.